Amen. Let us continue to praise the goodness of God. We will continue our time of worship with our scripture reading. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. And it reads, "For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you have handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, 'Master, you have handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more.' Well done. His master said to him, 'Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours.' But his master replied, 'You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the 1 talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be reaping and gnashing of teeth.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, here we have, friends, the parable of the talents. Most people know this parable, and so it gets preached a lot, though, even though there's that part about weeping and gnashing of teeth. A lot of times they'll cut that part out. One of the reasons that I think people love it so much is it has the word talent in it. And the word talent is the same letters put together as our English word for skills and aptitudes. And so we really value that idea of talent, being really good at something. We have our TV shows that reward this. We have The Voice, we have The Masked Singer, and we have Sunday Best, which in my dreams I could be a part of. So when we have something called the parable of the talents, we're super excited about that. At last, a parable for me, you know, for us, that rewards our talents. This parable is also sometimes read like, "How talented are you? How good are you at singing or juggling or making cakes? And if you're really good at something, get out there and double your productivity. If you're really rich, make more money. Too much is given, much is expected, you know. And what's up with the one guy, the guy who had 1 talent and all he had to do was make 2? Surely he could have managed that. And I'm super proud of the guy who had five and made five. Because, brother, that's talent. But just to humor me, shelve the notion for today that talent refers to a skill, an aptitude. Because the talent in this story is a sum of money. Doesn't have anything to do with being good at juggling at all. It's a sum of money. It's actually a weight. A weight. A talent is a weight. And you could have a talent of gold, a talent of silver, maybe a talent of bananas. Maybe not. But it's a weight, okay? So to be given one talent of a precious metal is a huge sum of money. It was the largest unit of currency they had at the time, a talent. Some sources indicate one talent is about 20 years regular wages. One talent. I looked it up, like what a talent of gold would be worth today, and it's like over $2 million. It is a lot of money. So let's get that "So You Think You Can Dance" talent show out of our heads and look at this parable again. You all know the Mandy way of studying parables, which I commend to you, is first thing I do is I ask myself, where is God in this parable? And once I find that, then I have the parable rotate around that. Here, God is the master. And he is very, 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 very generous. He is entrusting a gigantic amount of money to his servants. And it never says that the servants earned the money or that they deserved it. It was just windfall money. He's asking that his servants take what he's given them and invest it. And if they do that, it multiplies. The finance committee loves this parable. Now, the servants who did a good job, they did that. They invested what they were given from their generous God, right? It multiplied. And the master gives it all to them. Well done. Enter into the joy of your master. What a generous master this is. The servants who did not do the right thing took all that money and buried it in the ground. Now, in doing that, that servant was being prudent. Burying it in the ground in those days was a way to protect money in an era without safety deposit boxes. "See," says the servant, "I did a good job. I took care of what you gave me. I was careful with it." Then he says something that's like, I think, supposed to be sort of funny, but we don't get the humor. But he says, "I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow." The thing is, though, the people who heard this parable would know that he's not a hard man. He's super generous. He just gave away a talent of money. This generous to a fault, crazy generous master all of a sudden throws a fit at being told that he's harsh. He didn't look harsh till somebody said, "I knew you were kind of a bad guy, so that's why I buried it out in the backyard." "Look," he says, "I gave it all to you. I gave it for free. I gave you all I had so that you would invest it and share it. And you could have made it grow, and instead you buried it." Consider where this parable is located in the Bible. It's in Matthew 25. That's late in the game. After this, in the Gospel of Matthew, we will have the parable of the Last Judgment, and then we will have the Passion of our Lord. If the Master is where we find God or Jesus in this parable, if that's where God is, look at who this Master is. We can see the riches that this Master is willing to invest in the servants. Look at all that love poured out over them. Look at all that grace, all that forgiveness, all that amazing grace pouring out everywhere for you and for me. How many talents is that worth exactly? It reminds me of the oil that was poured out to anoint Jesus. And Mary Magdalene, who dried his feet with her hair. Precious. He says, I knew you were a harsh man. No. This is a crazy seed-flinging sower. You remember the sower who put seed on the rocky path and on the briar patch and on the good soil and in the mulch and all over the sidewalk. This master is all in. This is not a parable about human skills and abilities. This is a parable about an all-in God. Sounds like our Jesus, who's about to go on a journey in this gospel to the cross, recklessly generous, recklessly loving, giving to his servants the measures of his generosity and the message of his gospel for the world, giving a share of his mercy and love. And what we are given is not meant to be clutched to our chests or buried in the ground. What we are given is meant to be shared. What this master seems to want is not so much the particularly talented. He seems to want servants who are willing to be good investors. People who are willing to invest what they are given. Then with that faithfulness on our part, God can do amazing things and kingdom multiplication happens. Like the child whose 5 loaves and 2 fish became enough to feed the 5,000. That's what's at the root of our generosity. That when we give in faithfulness what we've been given, God multiplies and blesses. So if in Christ we have been given love, we're not called to bury that love in the ground. We're called to invest it. Invest love. Where? In places and in people that need love. Do you know any? I do. Invest love in our neighborhoods and in our church and in Wish Upon a Star families. Invest love in our journey to Bethlehem. Invest love in our youth. And in our children, like the ones who are here today. Invest love in our co-workers, our clients, our friends, even our enemies. If in Christ we have been given forgiveness, we don't just clutch and hold on to that. We're called to invest forgiveness. Where? In places and people that need forgiveness. Know anybody? I do. Sometimes the one who needs forgiveness the most is the one that we see in the mirror. If in Christ we've been given peace and freedom from fear, we need to invest peace and freedom from fear in places and people that need it. Know anybody like that? I do. We do that when we work for social justice, when we care for the lonely, when we reach out to the sick. We're sharing peace and freedom from fear. If what we've been given is abundant life, we need to invest abundant life in people who need it, which is basically everybody within the sound of my voice or everybody watching me right now. Everybody who thinks that faith and hope are just children's names, you know? So we see that this parable is about a generous God looking for servants who are willing to invest what God has given them If that's the case, then the gifts we've been given are for a purpose. They're to build up the body of Christ. They are to share the love of God revealed in Jesus. They're giving to us so that we can serve the world in a way that is pleasing to our God. We're not just about groping about blindly for things we do best because it's fun and rewarding to do. We're doing it because we're called to use what we are given to proclaim the gospel, to build up the body of Christ, to make disciples, and to serve the world. John Wesley was a super good investor like this. He said, "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can." Okay. In other words, if you are blessed, invest. If you are grateful, share. And I think you will find that when we invest by loving and forgiving and sharing what God has given us, we will end up with more love and forgiveness than we started with. It's one of the amazing paradoxes that the more you love, the more love you have to give. That's how our God works. When we invest and take a risk and step out in faith, and do what we didn't think we could do, because we have that little nudge of the Spirit, you know? Give a little more than we thought we could give. Amazing things happen. Here's how it works. You think God might be calling you, say, to help us out with these cameras in here. And you know a little bit, but not a lot. So you reach out, and then you sort of become an assistant in training on a Sunday. And they kind of show you how it works. Then you figure that part out. And so pretty soon you're doing that camera switching more or less on your own. Next thing you know, you're teaching somebody else how to do it. Two talents becomes four, and four becomes eight, and eight becomes 16. And pretty soon you're looking forward to getting in here on Sunday, even though it's a little chaotic at times. Can I get a witness? People in here. But you look forward to it because you realize what you're doing is making disciples of Jesus. Whenever we invest what we are given, two becomes four, and four becomes eight, and eight becomes 16. And it's not because we're so talented. It's just that we're willing to give. We're willing to show up. We know about this God. We know that he's not a harsh man. We know that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And we know that he came so that we might have life and have it abundantly. I can't think of a better illustration of being a good investor than bringing your child to be baptized today. What an amazing act of investment. Parents promise to nurture their children in the faith. And the church makes the radical promise to proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ so that when our children look at us, they see Jesus. They see somebody that looks like Jesus for them. So that we can be Christians they can be proud of. We promise to surround them with a community of love and forgiveness no matter what. We promise to pray for them every day. That's called investing. Because of our generous God, we are generous. We will invest in people and places that Jesus loves and is invested in. So this is not a parable about talent. It's about a generous God and some people who see God's generosity. It's about living a grateful life, sharing God's generosity, being faithful witnesses to Christ and what he's like and how much he loves and caring so much about that, that we're willing to give of our time and our gifts and our resources. Hear me, church. God is not looking for a pack of perfect people. God's just looking for some good investors. Amen.